Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. Welcome to the Broad Street Hockey Green Room Live post game. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. Hey, we got a best case scenario here. We saw some goals. The game wasn't terribly boring. And the Flyers lose in regulation. So everybody wins. Not much to say about this one, obviously. It's cool to see guys like Travis Konechny start to get things going a little bit here because, hey, whether they end up trading him, he'll have more value, or if they keep him, you know, maybe he can get back to a little closer to that level we expected from him a couple of years ago rather than the guy he's been these last two seasons. He's been producing pretty well lately, scores a goal tonight. I know the goal scoring hasn't really been there all year, but over the last couple of weeks, maybe the last month or so, he's just looked a lot more like the Travis Konechny, you know, we expected him to be. So that's cool, you know, whether they keep him or move on from him. He'll have more value either way, so that's fine. I think this team just needs a drastic reshaping, but as I've said over and over, they can't replace the entire roster. Some guys are going to have to still be here. If TK is one of them, cool. Maybe he's starting to get things turned around. We will see, you know, as the trade deadline approaches. I do think TK and guys with term on their deals are probably going to be more. It's going to be like an off-season move, a move at the draft, something like that, when free agency opens, and not so much at the deadline. I think it's going to be mostly guys with 1 year on their deal at the deadline, but you never know. We're actually getting close now. It's finally March. We're finally into March, and the trade deadline is 18 days away, so at least it's approaching. We've at least reached the month in which the trade deadline is. It's been a long march to get there. That's it. It just seems like this season has gone on forever. It certainly feels like that when you're watching the games. I'm sitting there like, yeah, cool, Flyers, you know, scored a goal. That's all well and good. Like, oh, Patrick Brown, good for him. Glad he's in the lineup to score, you know, like, and we're just watching these fake, meaningless games that you want them to lose because there's the only point to this season now. The only point to this season after watching this horrible, horrible hockey is hoping to get into the top of this draft. Right now, as I'm looking at it, the Flyers have 42 points, same as Buffalo and one fewer game played. They are, fifth from the bottom. Like, if the draft was done by total points, a record or whatever, and not by lottery, right now they'd be picking fifth. That's a good start. I think they can sink lower. You know, they still sell some guys. I think they can get to that third spot. They're only, 3 points up on Seattle. So with, you know, two games in hand, those are couple regulation losses right there. We're right with you, Seattle. It's just seeing Philly and Seattle, like, you know, Arizona, obviously horrible. Montreal having one of the worst seasons ever. Buffalo, perpetually a dumpster fire. But Seattle, the expansion team, the Flyers basically having the same record in the gold and the same goal differential, really puts into perspective what this team has done. Looking at what Seattle did, the expansion draft, it was like, man, they put together one of the least talented teams I've ever seen. And then, it turns out. The Flyers are right there with them. All right, that's enough of my take on this whole thing. We'll get into plenty of it. Let's get to the calls, and let's lead it off with Warren Brody. Warren, you're live.
Hey, welcome back, Bill. How was your vacation?
Oh, vacation was outstanding. Had a ton of fun, Warren. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's what counts. So, interesting game tonight. Can we, cancel the last 30 games of the season? I mean, this is just Really depressing.
That's
I mean,
the only point to it is hoping they lose so they fall in the draft. Like, I'm watching tonight, like, okay, this is all well and good, but please, like, please put your foot on our throats, Minnesota. Like, will you just get the lead back? And finally they did. Yeah, it's depressing to watch.
Yeah, it just seemed like every time they made a mistake tonight, and they were really bad mistakes. Like, I'm not sure. It's a shame they can't sit Provorov down for a few games because it's just painful to watch. He's just every time he makes a mistake, it ends up in the back of the net. But one thing I'm noticing with Carter Hart, and he's a good goalie. I don't want to rip him, but he's too far back in his net. And, you know, that fourth goal right between the legs was not a good look. But, you know, they had a lot of shots tonight too. But he's got to worry. He's still got things to work on as well. I mean, there's too many goals going in over his shoulder. But I think I'm hoping they clean house with this coaching staff. I'm not impressed with Yo. You know, I'm a little confused on his game strategy with 3 minutes left in a game they're losing. He's got the fourth line out there. And he's got Yandle out there at the end of the game. That's all I needed to see. He's just a strange guy, strange coach.
Yeah, I really do believe the Yandle stuff, him on the power play. I had to laugh seeing him out at the end of the game as well, Warren. It was like, I really just believe they're hoping if he can do literally anything, someone will see it and want to give them anything for him.
But that shows
he's
you how
one of the worst players I've ever seen.
That shows you how desperate the team is, and I'm really starting to question the leadership from the top. Because, you know, people like JVR and Yandle aren't going to turn it on all of a sudden, and they're not going to have people trying to trade for them. I mean, they're not good players at this point. It's tough to watch. All right, thanks.
It is, and thanks a lot, Warren. Yeah, JVR, hopefully they can figure something out in the offseason. I don't see anybody trading for him at this deadline, not with another year on his deal, not at that cap hit, not with what he has done this season. Now, hey, dumb shit happens all the time, you know? There's plenty of bad general managers out there. There's probably about 30, let's say, bad general managers out there. So anything could happen, but there's no way, in my mind, they're able to move on from JVR. I can see some idiot team thinking, some defensive depth heading into the playoffs. We could figure out a way to utilize Yandle more like Quenneville did last year to get the most out of him. Iron Man streak obviously doesn't count in the playoffs, so you're free to scratch the guy. You know, it's illegal to take a horrible player out of your lineup because he's played so many games in a row. It's the circular thinking just drives me insane. But I watch Keith Yandle, and I want to complain nonstop about Keith Yandle. And I'm like, the Flyers haven't won 16 out of 54 games because of Keith Yandle. It's not his fault. But he has in no way helped. Like, the fact that he's out there and playing, like, he's fucking terrible. But a lot of the guys they have out there, like, I'm sitting there just watching Nick Seeler tonight thinking, this is it. This is what we have. Now, like, I get Ryan Ellis is supposed to draw in, and maybe you could have had some depth in Samuel Morin. You give up Robert Haig in the Ristolainen trade, but essentially you're missing one guy. And, oh, fuck, we need to go to Nick Seeler? Like, that's the next – that was, you know, most 7th, 8th defensemen. It's not like they're great, but maybe they give you something in terms of upside or, you know – it's just wild that this is what they've gone with and this is all they have. Josh Neath. Josh, you're live on the post game.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
How are you tonight, Josh?
Good. First time on here. So they sent Ratcliffe down because they said he wasn't getting enough minutes in the NHL, but it's like, why? Why are you not playing him more minutes and putting, you know, giving him more time? Obviously, the season's scrapped. And you're playing Derek Brassard for some reason. Play Ratcliffe. Play him in more minutes.
Yeah, it's more than anything, it's the wording of these situations that always drives me nuts. Like, oh, well, he's got to play. I don't want to just keep him on the bench. Well, you're the fucking coach. Then don't. You're totally in charge of ice time distribution. This is the only thing you have control over. Who plays and for how long? If you wanted to play him, you could. And, like, after the deadline, they'll still have 20 games, and I think a lot of guys will get some looks. And someone like Derek Brassard, I suppose, could have some trade value to a team looking to add some depth, you know, without giving up much. So I understand putting the veterans in and everything, and Mike Yeo still thinks he's coaching for his job for some reason, even though it's pretty clear that ain't going to happen. Like, he can be doing a tremendous job, and they can't give the job to a dude who wins, like, three of the final 50 games. Like, they just can't. So it doesn't even matter how good of a coach Mike Yeo is. They can't give him the job. I don't understand it. Like, overall, like, you know, Morgan Frost, Isaac Ratcliffe, these guys probably aren't going to move a needle. It does just annoy the shit out of me that, like, how is there no plan?
Yeah, the point – I don't think the point is them – like, that's not their job right now, is to move the needle significantly.
Yeah.
The needle needs to be their development, and this is where they need to be to develop. And they're just sending them in the AHL because, like, oh, they'll get more ice time there. Well, why aren't you playing them and more ice time here? And like you said, getting rid of guys like Nick Seeler, who's a waste of space on the ice. Keith Yandle, I understand York is hurt. But, you know, just those guys that are just worthless. And then speaking of Yandle, with what you guys were saying earlier, what was his play at the end of the game where he's got one hand on his stick, that pop fly comes up, and he's just got one hand on the stick, like, oh, I might deflect it, maybe. I don't know. And then it bounces past him. And he has to fight off Kaprizov.
You know? Yeah, he's – I mean – Lazy Keith play. Yandle, every night I say the Flyers, you know, have maybe two or three NHL defensemen in the lineup, and he ain't one of them. Keith Yandle has had a hell of a career. It's over, though. He does not belong in the NHL. He is in the running for, like, worst player I've ever watched play for this team.
Yeah, and the last thing I'm going to say is I know a lot of people got on to Hart last year about his play. And I was never one of them. I honestly think he played fine last year. It was the team in front of him. And it's proven again this year. Hart's numbers are slightly better, but it's still the team in front of him. You know, Hart, like Warren said, can improve in areas, but it's the team. It's the team in front of him. Defensive breakdowns is what leads to losing a two-goal lead with 5 minutes left in the game.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks a lot, Josh. Carter Hart, not a finished product. I think last season it started out the team in front of him was bad and letting him down. And then eventually he just broke. It pretty much looked like the bouncing goals through the five hole, the armpit goals, like Carter Hart was just completely lost in the second half of last season. I think after he was so badly let down by the team in front of him prior to that, this year, I think he's been fine. Areas of his game to work on. He's not a finished product. He's still a young guy. It's hard when you're never on offense. This team, again, 50% of the defense playing in front of them don't belong in the NHL. Like, it's tough. That said, he's not a stud yet, Carter Hart. He could still definitely become one, but a stud goaltender, no matter the team in front of him, steals you a game every now and then. And it's hard to say Carter Hart has really stolen them a game. And that's like, it's not so much a knock on him as it is just like he still has steps to take as well. For his age, for what he's given to work with, I think he's been completely fine this year. But he does need to improve to be that franchise guy. I don't think he's quite there yet. Johnny Dyer, Johnny, you're live on the post game.
How's it, Bill?
How's it going tonight, Johnny?
Oh, just grand. How was your vacation? Pretty awesome.
Oh, it was tremendous. We were down in Jamaica Saturday to Wednesday. It was a ton of fun.
Oh my God! And you came back to this?
We are sitting there. My wife and I are sitting on the couch, and she's like, "So you're gonna do a post game tonight?" I was like, "Yeah." Yeah, I guess I fucking had. Like, I'm back. I need to not. I'm back. I'm not still away. I can't pretend. I've already texted everyone, like, hey, I'm back. I'll do, like, yeah. So it is what it is. Flyers are horrible. They lose in regulation tonight. That's the outcome I wanted. So it's, you know, it's the job.
I'm trying to keep that mantra in mind that losses are wins. Like, that's. That's what I'm trying to keep in mind. I was wondering if you saw that that Carcini tweet where he had like, there's all these scouts in the game tonight, scouts galore, right? At the did you see that by any chance?
Yeah, yeah. So there was like 16 or 18 scouts at the game tonight.
At first, I was like, I wondered who they're looking at, and then I thought a little bit about it and was like, I wonder if they just needed a good laugh. Like, I wonder if they just needed, like, watching a comedy. Like, I'm going to go and watch this garbage team and laugh at them and feel better about what my team is doing because these guys are a clown show. I thought, that'd be great. Free tickets to this? Like, you can just laugh at another team and how horrible they are and how grateful you are for that your team's not the team you're watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's serious business out there on the road. You know, the scouts, they lead a hard life. They're, you know, up, you know, especially the advanced scouts coming in a couple days before their team to do the scouting and everything. You need a night off, a night of just basically watching the Three Stooges, which is what the Flyers are. The Flyers in their defensive zone are – it's unlike – it's like some of them have never played hockey before. Like, it's like a middle school team against a college team. Like, I am baffled by some of the shit. Like, 3 seconds on the clock today, and Brassard just tosses it up the middle. Yeah, he was going for a high flip, and if he gets it over the guy's head, like, you know, it's no big deal, but he didn't. And if he just wraps it around the boards, the period ends. And like, it was just the most completely avoidable shit ever, and it's just constant with this team. It is laughable, but I do think sometimes like there's a little too much made of the scouts. Oh man, there's so many scouts here. Like, well, the Flyers and Wild both have like, you know, games against other teams coming up,
right?
And those teams are coming here to like do the advanced scouting and stuff. So like, you have to account for that as well. But you know, it's that time of year. People are going to get excited about something. It ain't going to be the hockey on the ice. It's going to be the scouts in the press box.
The food is real good, right? So the food at the bar is real good. Right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Why not? If you mentioned that Brassard play, like if that was, I don't know, Isaac Ratcliffe or like Morgan Frost, their ice time would have been cut down completely. And they would have been sent down if they weren't already down there. They would have been sent down, but this is a vet who you got to showcase. Like, ugh, this you're showcasing Derek Brassard, and this is what he can bring to your team. He can cause a turnover with 3 seconds left in the period that leads to a goal.
No, yeah, and it's absolutely frustrating. Like Justin Braun leaves with the flu. Like, oh, that's good, a sick guy. Just as everyone's lifting all the restrictions and everything, like there's a sick guy, and like that shit happens. Everyone gets the flu, but it's just frustrating that like be better. Everyone just be better for like a couple of days so we can trade you.
The season from hell. I think I could only listen. I couldn't get the game, so I could listen to Saunders and Coetzee, which is fantastic. If anybody's watching these games, listen to those guys because it's wonderful. And it sounded like they scored a power play goal, which surprised me. Like I didn't think they were allowed to do that because I figured that guy, the dude they brought in, Torchetti, you said he looks a little bit like Lindros, but I always thought he looked like that guy from like Bar Rescue, who's like yelling at people to shut it down all the time, and that's all.
They definitely have a similar vibe.
Yeah, where he just told them to like shut the power play down, just shut it down. Don't bother scoring anymore. Just shut. Now they're going to get berated when they skate back to the bench having scored a power play.
You know, every now and then one's just going to find its way in.
Right.
Like it's like Giroux just kind of flips it at the net and it happens to catch JVR's stick and get into the back of the net. Like, you know, I guess every now and then one's going to find its way in.
Before, I know we probably got a ton of callers after this game, but, did you see
who wouldn't be lining up to talk about this?
Did you see the jerseys they had on? Somebody sent me pictures. They had like high school jerseys on.
Yeah, they all came in the building in like different area teams for the Flyers Cup.
I thought that was the best part of the game was, you know, them like kind of representing area high school teams or whatever. That was pretty cool.
That was cool. And it's one of those little things like, and thanks a lot, Johnny. It is one of those little things like the organization. I do think they hear at least some of our complaints, and they want to represent, like, you know, the roots of hockey in the area and all that. They want to be more in tune with the community. People think that they've turned their backs on that aspect of things a little bit over the years since Ed Snyder's passing. And I think it's just one of those little things. Would have liked to see somebody rocking a Clearview Pioneers jersey, though. I mean, they just won the Tier 1 South Jersey Championship. Would have been cool to see them in there. I saw Shawnee and it was like, all right, but they lost, you know? V-I-E-W, view, 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 baby.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we'll break down... We break down who will be cutting... Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smart Food, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4-3-2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
They can't. If this team was already good, you could afford, like, a shitty Risto contract. Because he's not great, but he's an NHL player. He brings an element they want. I like Risto. He's not worth nearly what's being reported, my God. But if this team was, like, already pretty good, you could afford something like that. To pull off what they think they're going to be able to pull off this offseason with this this aggressive retool, you need that money to go to, like, excellent players. You really, really need that money to be spent well and, like – Rasmus Ristolainen is not that, man. Like, he is not an excellent player. He's fine. He's good. I like his physicality. Ideally, sure, want to be able to keep him around, considering they gave up the first-round pick for him and everything. And I think you can find a role for him, and he might be able to give you a little bit more offensively when he's just got more confidence in the spot he's in and everything. But, shit. This team has so few good players. How can you take the money that you could spend on a good player and spend it on the big physical defenseman? Like, that would be a disaster. All right, Matt, you're live on the post game.
Hey, Bill, you got me there?
Yeah, I got you. You're live, Matt. What's up?
Not much, man. I hope you tried some of that Appleton down there in Jamaica.
I tried a little bit of everything down in Jamaica. It was quite a nice time.
That's good. I wonder if you remember back in the time of, like, when the team had the Twin Towers, Hatcher and Rathje, when they also struggled on the power play and they put Hatcher net front on that power play.
Yes.
Kind of made me laugh when when they did it with Ristolainen today. Like, you know, you find the biggest guy with, you know, the biggest ass, and you just tell him to, you know, throw those cheeks in front of the opposing goalie and do his best. And it was kind of funny. Like, he looked like he didn't know what the hell he was doing there. But, you know, like, props to him for trying.
Yeah, no, I really – it does – I was thinking the exact same thing when I saw it, like, when they tried it with Hatcher. Like, all right, well, this guy isn't what he was physically – fuck it, let's just put him in front of the net. Like, let's use that part of his game. And they're doing the same thing with Ristolainen and now. I mean, anything to try to spark that power play, I guess. Why not try dumb stuff at this point? Nothing else is working. It's absolutely an embarrassment, that power play. But it did totally make me laugh and think of that Darian Hatcher thing.
Yeah, like, it, you know, it's kind of like a creepy nostalgia feeling almost. But the other one, I know you were talking about, you know, Ristolainen's contract, and the funniest part of that for me is, like, that he actually apparently turned down Fletcher. Like, Fletcher's out there trying to, you know, give him a blank check with Dave Scott's signature on the bottom. But, you know, the guy kind of looks at him and apparently just says no. So just to tie into that, I saw rumors that they're excited, or I don't know, they're looking at Jeff Petrie. And I know those Terminator eyes probably excited them, you know, like watching him last year in the playoffs. But I actually got to see the guy play Winnipeg a few days ago, and like, he shot, man. Like, there's nothing left in the tank for, like, for Petrie, or at least the way I saw him.
You know, as rumors start to emerge about maybe what they're thinking about doing this offseason, and, you know, at the deadline and everything, as much as I was like, all right, I want them to rebuild, I don't believe in this aggressive retool. And it's like, well, they're doing it, so let's hope for the best and maybe they'll get lucky. And then everything starts coming out about what they're looking to do, and it's like, man, this is not going to work.
Like, yeah, man. Like, it's you just kind of laugh at this point, right? Like, they, you know, they go out there and they're trying to sell this vision that, you know, they're going to go out and buy a nice new, like, Camaro with all the money they have, and then, like, Fletcher's going to go buy, like, a beat up, like, Dodge Neon that's, like, 20 years old. Like, it's I don't know, just pretty crazy that this plan of the aggressive retool. I know we talk about it a lot, but I can't get sold on it. Like what are they building, right? It's anyway. I'll let you go. Hope you had fun, and I'll maybe see you for a few games here yet.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's man, like this Risto stuff. He personally is going to save them from themselves by, like, taking a worse deal to be on a better team. And I can't blame him. Like, he did get his big deal from Buffalo, and he was there all that time. And now he's, you know, he thought he was getting a fresh start on a team that was going for it. And right now, Buffalo and Philadelphia have the same number of standings points. Like, he wants to not be somewhere that's completely fucking miserable. He wants to not play in half-empty buildings. I don't blame him for any of this. And again, you can find a role for the guy, and he's a decent enough player. But shit, if you're going to pay him like a 2 or a 3, you are fucking yourself. Like, then how do you go and actually they are in hopefully, like, all the bad players just turn them down, and the good ones are like, yeah, we'll take that money. Maybe we'll just get lucky with who chooses to come here. I don't – ugh. Harris Barnes, Harris, you're live on the post game.
Hey, Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. How are you tonight, Harris?
Doing fine. Did you guys record – did you and the gang record BSH or not with you on vacation?
We didn't do it yet. We're doing it tomorrow. There's going to be a double dose. It's going to be BSH, and I think a Flyperbole is coming out tomorrow as well.
Oh, nice, nice. I just wasn't sure if I'd missed it or something. Yeah, but I was able to watch most of the game, was able to watch a lot of the third. But, I mean, the offense looked better. That's nice. But then you notice how bad the defense played, and, like, they gave up so many chances that just shouldn't happen, and you just notice how weak both sides of the D are, and for a long time there everyone thought, oh my gosh, the left side of D is going to be great for 7 to 10 years, and then you're like, it's not good, or it's like Provorov is nowhere near where people thought, and then Sanheim, I think people, his production after his draft year, it made it look like he was better than he was, and he is what he is.
Yeah, and Sanheim is, if you give him some power play time and, you know, the right situation and everything, I think he's a fine second pair defenseman who can move the puck a little for you. But, like, they just don't have that dynamic element. They so badly need some sort of explosive offensive production from somebody, and they don't have anything close to that. You know, maybe Farabee, he's coming back from the injuries and stuff. He's your closest thing, but especially on the back end, there's nothing there.
Is Emil Andre going to sign after his SHL year and then come over this next year?
remains to be seen. I would love to see just some new blood in the organization. Start bringing these guys over sooner. Get your hands on them, and maybe that's not great for their development, you know, given our track record. But I would just really like to see, like, find out what you have in players sooner, so you don't wait for 3 years and then they come over, and after a year of development, it's like, ah, yep. We need that still. I would really like to just see them start moving timelines up on all their guys, but especially the you know, the players, the foreign players who you don't get to watch all the time.
And I think people are thinking Bobby Brink's going to sign after his NCAA season at Denver, right? Like, I don't think he's going to keep staying and then play his whole leverage card, because I think he's too good to do that. Like, there's no point in him playing another year of NCAA or 2 years or whatever they're giving him, because like I think he's ready for pro now, right?
Yeah. And like, it's not like, I think a lot of those guys oftentimes, like, when they're underdrafted, but he was a, you know, second round pick, like, and he's going to get an opportunity. It's not like the Flyers have a ton of like offensive firepower in front of him. If he can contribute, he's going to be here right away.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, it's his junior year, so he's a little bit older, but like, he's showing the offense that he kind of showed in his draft year with Sioux City. And I think there's a lot of forwards that are about to turn pro, or I guess technically already have, who are kind of in that same spot. They're going to be very good depth, maybe not the highest ceilings, but there's going to be a lot of guys competing for spots in the next few years. And it'll just be interesting to see that infusion of new blood, because yeah, things look pretty bleak with the current roster, but if Fletcher or whomever comes after makes like the right moves and ships out the correct people and lets other guys walk, like, you could have a lot of good young players. It's just, who's the Giroux replacement? And that's the big thing you always bring up.
Yeah. And like, just in terms of the timeline of it all, you know, say, you know, I'm convinced that they're convinced they're getting Johnny Gaudreau, and that's why they're not going to give up on anything. But it's like, all right. And then we're counting on these young players. Like, when was the last time a young team won a championship? Like, it takes a while to get these things going, and do the timelines match up? I guess if, you know, Hayes is healthy, Couturier, Ellis, that whole group, then you're better off. But I just don't see how the timelines of any of this match up.
Yeah, like Brink, Wisdom, McLennan, like all these guys are very solid prospects, but I don't think these guys are smaller guys too. And I'm not putting the size bias card out there, but like, it's just hard to imagine another, like, they just become DeBrincat all of a sudden. Or, and like, Wisdom's a different type of player, and like, he's gonna hopefully be a good professional player like he showed last year. But I just don't like, the ceiling is very up in the air for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, there's certainly no one believes any of these guys are players you build around. Now, sometimes you just get lucky and you end up with one of those players, but are we banking on that? Like, oh yeah, Zade Wisdom is actually going to be a star. Like, I doubt it, you know? Like, this plan is very it's intriguing. Like, it's going to be fun to cover. It's going to be one of the more fun things to cover this off season, and with what the Flyers have done in the last few, but I don't know if I see it at this point.
And I was saying to Steve on the last post game when you were out, like, New Jersey and Columbus, like, they have better or higher end young players that are either on the roster or like about to turn pro or come up to the NHL. And the Flyers, yeah, they have some like very solid guys. I like what Fletcher's done in the draft for the most part, but are they able to have these guys come in and really infuse the roster and push it over the top? Because I think there's two spots in the Metro that are going to open up, because I think it's like Carolina and New York are going to be good for a while. Pittsburgh and Washington are going to fall off, and then who's going to take those next two spots?
Yeah, and God, I've been waiting for Pittsburgh to fall off forever. Did they just steamroll Tampa tonight? I think,
yeah, they did.
I saw the score. Yeah, 5-1. But yeah, no, I mean, eventually those teams won't be elite, because my God, like, their stars are in their mid-30s at this point, and Ron Hextall runs Pittsburgh, so you know that their drafts are all going to be shit. So
their drafts have been shit for
since
Gensel was drafted. Who have they drafted that was that good?
I mean, they're getting by on. I mean, the depth always steps up for them, but they're getting by on the stars they've gotten by on for the duration of their, you know, of their tenures there.
They're getting by on like the stars, and then Mike Sullivan creating like a really good culture, and the dressing room is great, and all that jazz. Like, Washington's definitely falling off. Like, I watched the Washington game against the Leafs on my computer, and like, Washington just looks slow. And I know the playoffs is a different game, and like, their game is more suited for the playoffs, where it's more physical. Like, it's a little bit more tighter checking, slower paced with speed, but like, Washington just looked slower, and that's because a lot of their guys are old and not that good anymore.
Yeah, and they know at this point what it is to go through the playoffs, so there could always just be, like, looking at the standings, it's not like they're going to miss the playoffs. They'd probably like to be higher in the standings, but with Pittsburgh and New York playing the way they are, it might be tough. But, like, I'm not counting Washington out yet, but, yeah, in a year or two, how could they still be like this?
And Bill, my I guess my last question is, and I know the draft is best player available, and so, like, that's who you want the Flyers to take. But if it comes down to even best player available, do you have a positional bias? Is it a center? Is it a, like, a right shot D, like a Nemec or whatever his name is from Slovakia? Is it a Matt Savoy?
Like, they just need the franchise center so bad. They need that thing. Yeah, they need the star forward. And you'd like it to be the most important position, the center. But, I mean, they're so devoid of talent, they could use literally everything.
Because Slavkovsky, like, seeing the Olympics and seeing the World Junior Tournament and those limited sample sizes, like, his league of production hasn't been that good, but, like, he's built like Jágr, and he's that big center who has decent skating ability but is so tough on the puck. Like, that guy could be a guy down the middle for somebody for the next 12 years.
And that's all, like, that's all that's left to hope for this season, is just that they continue to play this way and it results in not wasting a year like this. It results in getting one of those players they so desperately need.
Okay. It's good talking to you, Bill.
Oh, shit. I hit end there. Sorry, Harris. It was a delayed thing there, but thanks for calling in. And it's here we are. It's, what was this? We're at 54 games played, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting there. The trade deadline is 3 weeks away. We're making our way towards the end of this thing. We've suffered through it. Still, you know, still a little bit in front of us, but we're marching on. We are being the fans that we are supposed to be, and we're staying tuned in. So that's all we can ask for, and I thank you all for staying tuned in to this post-game show and everything on the BSH podcast feed, BroadStreetHockey.com, all of it. We really appreciate it. We are really happy that you've stayed with us through just another shit-wasted, lost Philadelphia Flyers season. It hurts me just as much as it hurts you, but we get through it together here on the post-game show. So thank you all for listening, and thank you for hanging out. If you haven't already, you got to hit that subscribe button, search Broad Street Hockey wherever there are podcasts, and boom, content. We'll be recording BSH Radio, the flagship show, tomorrow. So look for that. I believe there will be a Flyperbole tomorrow as well, so you're getting all sorts of content. And I am back. I will be doing these post-games for pretty much every game for the rest of the season. So stay tuned for those. I hope you all keep showing up, because I sure will. Until next time, my name is Bill Matz. Have a great week, everybody.